Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, what they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disasters that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
Good morning. Has anybody noticed that it's hot outside? If you've been working the last few days, you know it's been hot outside. And in this coat, it's a little hot in here. And I had to question why I'm even putting it on today. But it's just something you get accustomed to doing. And so I have a tie and a coat on thinking, you know, it's pretty hot. Nathaniel, I want you to do me a favor real quick. Would you flip that back over to PC and then back to the tablet? We're losing the monitor back here. Well, if we have any VBS teachers and workers who are a little bit tired still this morning. You could tell by Friday all the energy that started on Monday was beginning to reach its, I wouldn't say limits, because they were still excited come Friday. Then Friday night we had a wonderful open house, and we so appreciate that so much. And the reason I'm saying that, I know we've said it over and over again, we truly appreciate all the labor and the prayers and all that goes into it. But what is significant is that tonight you're going to get to come back, and we hope everybody will want to do that, even those that are visiting with us today, and we truly appreciate you being here. But I hope you want to come back, because I'm going to show you some slides tonight of some of the things that happened and tie that into the lesson that we're going to have this evening during our VBS. Some very interesting events occurred. In fact, if you've got the bulletin and you flip over the back page, I had a little boy that demonstrated what it meant to him to be a dinosaur. And then something else I want to tell you about is what we call Dusty Bones and Dino tonight, so we'll get a chance to take a look at that. And so I encourage you to be back with us this evening. If you have your Bibles and haven't already done so, please turn to Jonah now, chapter 4. And while you're turning there, just as a reminder, just in case you haven't seen these signs scattered all the way around, we have temperatures that are looking just a little bit like this. Today, I think our temperature is to be about 90 with a heat index 100, 105. You'll notice that it's warmer. And it's nice, of course, to be able to move into the air conditioning because it gets hot. But then I think about, you know, here we are in Missouri, then there's Texas, and there's other places around the world, particularly Iraq. And a lot of our military folks have been over there. My son-in-law spent a couple tours there in Iraq. He was a tour in Kuwait as well, and also in Africa. Again, a hot desert place. And Saturday, when I was working on these slides, it was 111 predicted for their Saturday, or it had been 100 in the 111 for their Saturday. Thursday, their predicted high is to be 118 in the city of Baghdad. Can you imagine? They average 118, and that is amazing. They say Baghdad is one of the hottest cities on the planet. However, what's interesting, if you go just a little bit north, you go to the city of what was once called, and not far from, the city of Nineveh. And we read in the scriptures in Jonah chapter 3 that he was told to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the message that God wanted him to preach. Of course, in the first part of the book, first two chapters, he's running from that, particularly in chapter 1, and he has to learn that God intends for him to go. And so he makes up his mind to do what God already had in mind, and that was to do God's will and go preach to the city of Nineveh. And so he goes and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was a big city. It's amazing to read about the city because it was a 3-day journey in extent. And that's a pretty good sized city if you think about how long it takes to walk a day's journey and how far that is. And you get an idea of that city because it equaled about 60 miles if you did 20 miles a day. Now, in the city of Nineveh, you have an area that is surrounded by desert, but it's on the river. And because it's on the river, you do have opportunities to find relief from the heat. And Jonah is going to discover he's going to need that relief because Jonah was going to experience the intense heat that we can see there today. In fact, today, near Nineveh, which is Mosul, closest city to what the ancient city of Nineveh, where it was located, it's predicted to be 115 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I know that is hot. And maybe some of you have been in a place like that and have experienced that particular heat. I tend to avoid it as much as possible. But Jonah is going to experience some heat in Nineveh. In fact, in verse 8, if you'll turn your Bibles and look down there in verse 8, it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Now, there is a danger with this intense heat. You can be out in that heat, and if you dry out enough, you quit sweating, and you can have what they call the heat stroke. My mom would always send us out during the summer. Play outside. She didn't want us in the house, so we didn't have air conditioning, so we didn't want to be in the house anyway. But as we would go out the door, she'd say, "Now, you don't play so hard that you get to the position where you're going to have a heat stroke." In fact, she'd say, "Don't have a heat stroke." We didn't exactly know how he was going to have one, but we always knew we weren't supposed to get one. But it didn't matter when you're a kid. All you do is find the garden hose, hose yourself down, cool off, drink some water, and away you go again. That's kind of the way it went. Well, Jonah experiences the sun. When the sun arose, God prepared a vehement scorching, is what that word means, east wind. The sun beat on Jonah's head and he grew faint. He was going to be getting hot. And it was time for Jonah to find some shade. So verse 5 tells us that Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a shelter and sat under it. Notice what the scripture says, in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. God's sending to preach. He finally goes. He does the job. And now he wants to see what happens. I'm not sure Jonah got what he expected. Because that city did something that was significant. They repented at the preaching. But he's waiting there to see what happens to the city. And what's interesting, here's what we read in verse 6. Chapter 4. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head and deliver him from his misery. So that gives you an idea how hot. From his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for that plant. As you and I would also. It is amazing you can stand out in the sun on that parking lot out there, but go find that shade tree by the office there, and it is such a difference. We see that shade as relief and grateful for it, just as Jonah was. And that Jonah was happy about, that he found that relief, because standing out in the hot sun can be very, very miserable. In fact, if you have the ESV, you'll see there that shade be for his head to deliver him from his misery, and that word in the ESV is translated discomfort. That's a good description. Now, we don't usually say that. We say, how you doing? Well, I'm hot. And if it gets hot enough, you become very, very miserable, discomforted. And Jonah understood that. The word misery that we have translated from the Hebrew language means that which is bad. But there's even another aspect to it. It's painful. How many of you have had opportunity to be where it's hot enough that it literally is painful to be in the sun? Because you begin to feel those effects upon your body. The word is used in Deuteronomy 28, verse 35, referring to severe boils. In Job chapter 2, it's translated in verse 7, painful boils from the sole of the foot to the crown of his head. Now that would be miserable, wouldn't it? That would be misery. That would be complete discomfort. There's the word. And so God prepared a plant, made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his pain, his discomfort, his painful experience. And so when we read those words, he was grateful. They have great meaning. Now, here's some lessons that I want to share with you this morning. Number one, and it's a lesson Jonah needs. Sin is like the hot sun. Why? Because it is a source of misery and discomfort and pain. We've got a whole lot of adults sitting here that understand that. You know, and many know by experience. In Psalms 38, verse 3, the psalmist said, there's no soundness in my flesh. As David speaks these words, listen, because he understands the source of the pain and also the source of what he calls anger. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. Why is God angry with David? Because of his sin. And then verse 5, my wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I don't want to make you sick, but if you've ever seen a foul, festering sore, and Scott, I don't see him here, but he could tell us all about it, couldn't he? Because he sees it on animals repeatedly. It's pretty sickening. It's miserable. And so this is the description that David is making because of his sin. And that's exactly what sin is. It's a source of misery. He goes on verse 6, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. We understand that physically, don't we? Unfortunately, there are some folks that do not understand it over here when it comes to sin. But many of you do, because you've been down that road, haven't you? You've seen other people going down that road, and oh, they seem to be happy, don't they? They seem to be joyous. Oh, they're enjoying life, right? But what do you really see? You see the challenge that's brought to them because of their sin. And ultimately, as we know, sin is and will be a source of a multitude of people's misery. How do we know that? Well, Jesus said it like this. He spoke and he said, enter in at or by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads where? To destruction. And there are many who go in by it. That wide gate doesn't have any promise of anything other than a horrible destruction. If you look at Matthew 25, verse 46, it's simply said like this. Jesus says, and these shall go away, where? Into everlasting punishment. And that's tragic, because that's the pathway that sin provides to destruction. Everlasting punishment. But, on the other hand, on the other side, as we say, the other side of the coin, what do we read? These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. But it's a choice. person can choose to live in sin or they can choose a life in righteousness. And of course, the outcome is going to be entirely different. So therefore, a person must think about life and where true comfort and where true discomfort is at. We go on to verse 6 again and notice that we read the words, so Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Why? Because it was providing relief. It was providing him comfort in the midst of discomfort. It was helping with the pain brought on by the sun that was beating down upon his head. And what a plant that would have been at the perfect time to provide him shade. Because Jonah was hot and miserable. He's going to be hot again, verse 7. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. Boy, during this last week, if I'd used that word worm, I'd had 100 kids, 100 folks looking at me almost going, worm? That's like saying dinosaur, right, Terry? Gets their attention, worm? God prepared a worm. This worm must have been like the ones that love to eat my tomato plants. A worm. And what did it do? And it so damaged the plant that it withered. It so damaged the plant that it withered. Now, Jonah here is excited. He's got this plant. It's providing him comfort. You know that had to be a beautiful thing for him. So much so that Scripture says he was grateful, very grateful for the plant. But now that plant has come to look like a lot of the things I grow in the garden. It withered. And it's not doing the job that it once did. Verse 8, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He's in a bad situation. So much so, look at what Scripture says. Then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. You have to think, Jonah, why didn't you get up and do something about your situation? Why are you so fixed upon staying where you're at? Why is it you don't go back into the city? Well, as we begin to look at the situation with Jonah, God has to deal with it. And it was in the time that God dealt directly with those that were his servants, particularly the prophets. So Jonah went, he has a mouthpiece to speak to Nineveh, and now he is there and we see him in despair. He's angry about the plant. It's withered. And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die, the ESV translates that. Angry enough to die. How many of you have been angry enough to die? Randy, this morning in class, talked a little bit about anger. You don't struggle that much with it, do you, Randy? He's overcome. I've never been that angry I could die. I've been angry enough to want to kill somebody else probably, but never that angry. But he is wanting to die. The word that's used in Hebrew means to burn or to glow warm. You think about it. He's sitting in that sun, but he's glowing physically and now internally. He's angry. He's displeased. And it's interesting that that can mean to wax hot. And I think the King James uses that terminology, particularly in Exodus 32:19. And Moses' anger waxed hot. Interesting phrase, isn't it? To be incensed, to be very wroth. In Judges 2, verse 14, the anger of the Lord was hot, Scripture says, against Israel. There you see that same terminology being used. And so this is the position that we discover that Jonah is in because of his situation. Now, if I say, I am sorry, I got hot under the... How many of you can answer? Collar. How many of you have been hot under the collar? We understand, don't we? Jonah became angry. Why? Notice what it says in verse 1 when it starts out. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. In reference to the context, you go back to verse 10. Then Jonah saw their works. chapter 3, that they turned from their evil way and God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. But it displeased Jonah. Why in the world does it seem like here we're reading that Jonah would want them destroyed? Why is he upset? Why is he angry in this case? That God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon those people. Well, when you understand the history of the Assyrians, which is Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were enemies of Judah. They were world conquerors. You've probably read in history, remember studying in your history about the Assyrian Empire. They were enemies of Judah and also Israel. And so it appears that Jonah wanted God to bring judgment upon these people he very likely hated. We might ask the question, well, why would Jonah hate these people? Well, it's possible that he knew that they would one day come and take and carry away the 10 tribes of Israel. In other words, they would bring destruction to the people of Israel. In fact, we know that God would use them as an agent of judgment upon those 10 tribes for their wickedness. This was pointed out in the prophets, like Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. And so he was looking at these people very likely as enemies. And here's the problem. They repented. That was not the outcome, I don't believe, that Jonah wanted. As we look here, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. When you think about Jonah and the reason he fled and didn't go to Nineveh to start with, you have to think about this, because it's very possible it wasn't that Jonah was so much afraid to go, which it would scare me to death, to go to a world empire and say, hey folks, y'all need to repent. But it's very possible that Jonah did not want them to repent. Even though God told him to go, he says, I'm going to do what I want to do. And whenever we do that, where do we end up? Well, sin will chew us up and spit us out, won't it? And that's exactly what happened to Jonah. No doubt about it. Now, we might not literally be swallowed up by fish, but sin will swallow us up. But Job was displeased here because things didn't go his way. And on a positive side, we might look at Jonah and say, well, he was patriotic and he loved his own country, and the Jews knew they were God's chosen people, and he saw these people as heathen, therefore he had no concern for them. But God's going to teach him a different lesson as we see chapter 4 unfold. Because you see, the hot sun exposed Jonah. The hot sun exposes Jonah's misplaced pity. He was sorrowful that that plant disappeared. He was not happy with the worms, or that worm. The Lord said in verse 10, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Who did not Jonah have pity upon? Well, of course, we know the people. But he had pity on the plant, and that word in the literal Hebrew from which we have translated our English Bibles refers to that which is a compassion that involves the heart. Means to look upon with compassion. That comes from the heart. In Ezekiel, you can read about this compassion and pity. When God says, in a negative sense, my eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. In other words, God said, I'm not going to have compassion. Why not so? Because they had defiled the sanctuary and done detestable things. That's how God looks at sin too. And that's a problem. Because sin separates us from God. But maybe we can understand this when it comes to pity. How many of you have had a chance this last few days to see this happening? Folks out working on the highway, maybe some of you do that. And sometimes you'll pull up and you have to stop and you think, oh, well, here I'm having to sit and wait in this heat while they're got stopped while they're working on the road while we're sitting here in the sun with the air conditioner going full blast. I just don't really want to sit here. How many of us stop and think, wow, I feel sorry for those guys out there working? See, when we do, that's the pity and compassion. But it's often very easy to be so selfish, we don't think about what others are going through. And that's exactly the problem that Jonah has. Jonah's heart was blinded to the need for proper pity. Look at verse 11. And should I not pity Nineveh? God says, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left. And much livestock. Who are those that cannot discern or tell the difference between the right hand and the left hand? Did I hear somebody say? Children? Was Jonah thinking about the children? Was he thinking about the innocent people in that city? Did he have any concern for animals, the livestock? No. He wanted his way. He was displeased when he saw that they turned from their evil way. So God has to teach him a lesson. When we look at Jesus, though, we don't see Jonah. Jesus was one, as he walked this earth, that was moved with compassion. And I like what we read in verse 14. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. He was able to stand and look at these numbers of people and be moved with compassion on them. So much so, the scripture says, and he healed their sick. But when he was doing so, of course, Jesus knew of a greater problem. They would be dealing with the problem of sin. And he also understood that not all of them would respond. Not all would find the straight way. Many would find the broad way, not the narrow. And so Jesus' heart went out to people. Verse 34 of Mark 6, Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Not only did Jesus heal, but he gave them hope with the things he taught. Because Jesus had the answer to their problem of sin. Not just physical body, but spiritual sickness as well. Because our Lord came to die for their sins, of course. Verse 5, Jonah 3. So the people of Nineveh, when the gospel, or not the gospel, it was good news, but when the preaching of Jonah came to them, the people of Nineveh did something Jonah didn't expect, I don't think. They believed God, proclaimed the fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 6, then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Jonah's preaching was effective. But here in chapter 4, we got a miserable Jonah. He should have been rejoicing, but oh no, he was angry. But God had to make it clear to him. Because verse 10, chapter 3, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. It doesn't get better than that, does it? These people did what they needed to do. They turned. Over and over again, Jesus would tell those who he taught, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Verse 41, Matthew 21, they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably. Those are the ones going to be miserable, those who do not repent. That's why in verse 28 of Matthew 10, Jesus said, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's ultimately the destination on the broad way. The problem with sin. But Jesus gave the answer to sin. And just like Nineveh, when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to repent. And just like the Lord prepared that plant for Jonah to come up to teach him about true compassion and pity, Jonah was grateful for the plant. I have to ask you this question this morning as we come to the end of our lesson. Are you grateful for the plant? You might say, what plant? The one that God gave us. When He planted Jesus on that cross. Because when Jesus went to that cross, He gave us the answer to our problem. That plant was really more of an answer to Jonah's problem than he realized. It was going to be a source for a lesson. Well, there was a great lesson taught to us when Jesus went to that cross. Because on that cross, He died for our sins. That's why this morning we have to say it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? Jesus was planted there on that tree. What are you going to do with that tree if you're living a life in sin? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to see and acknowledge the great compassion that our Lord had when Jesus died and gave Himself for us? This morning, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song. In just a moment, you'll have an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you understand the plan that God has laid out, and you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sins and being baptized for remission of sins, then this morning, the baptistry is ready. It's there. It's for you if you're willing to take the steps. And of course, Christians, it encourages us that when we think about Jonah, to make sure we live our lives seeking that crown, because all who do have that great promise of a crown of life. Is it yours? If not, why not? As we stand and sing, would you come?